Romans chapter 8, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture, rest yourself just a moment from your seat there. Amen. Verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us as we look into the precious Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for its inspiration and also the preservation of the Scripture so that we can have a copy of the Scripture before us here this morning. And Lord, we ask you today that you will take control of our thoughts, that you will help us, Lord, to be in tune with you, be sensitive, dear Lord, to your leadership. I pray this morning that, God, that you would deliver us from anything and everything, God, that would grieve or quench the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would have your way this morning. Lord, we in no way would want to miss your will intentionally. Lord, we have a desire this morning to be in your will, to be in step with you, for you to be in leadership, for you to direct, and that we would just follow. I pray that you will open the scriptures to our hearts. Help us, Lord, this morning as we expound the scriptures. Give us wisdom. Lord, I pray, help us with our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to have discernment. Lord, of knowing, God, your will and your leadership. I pray, dear Father, you'd bring conviction on those that are not saved. I thank you for those that you have saved. Lord, those that have confessed with their mouth that they have believed in their heart unto righteousness. And Lord, I thank you for that, for answering prayer. And Lord, we ought to be grateful. And Lord, it ought to be an encouragement to us to continue to pray for these others as well. And Lord, for those that have gotten saved and profess to be saved lately, Lord, may they know that that's only the beginning. That's only the start. And they'll find out that that's really the little end of what is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in their life and in eternity. Have your way this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing this morning. The reason I read just one verse is because, one, for sake of time, but two, we're going to be looking at some things down through this passage of Scripture. If you'll notice in verse number 1, there is the emphasis of the word condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it identifies who that crowd is, who those people are that are in Christ Jesus. And that is, it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're trying to preach or have preached one message already, and this will be number 2. We're preaching a message on salvation from condemnation. The very term to be saved means to be saved from something. The very term and idea of being saved, which is a Bible term, by the way, being saved, it means to be saved out of something. From something, out of something. And of course, the very term saved has the idea of someone else doing the saving. If you can save yourself, then you don't need to be saved. The word saved has many definitions. One means to be rescued. Well, you think about that very thought, that word rescue. You think of somebody that's pinned in a burning house or trapped in a wrecked car or something like that. They need rescuing, or you could say they need saving. Why? Because they're unable to get out on their own. They've got to be brought out. They've got to be delivered. They've got to be rescued. Well, that's the way it is with those that are not saved. They're those that are sinners. You're in a condition that you're trapped in. You cannot get out on your own. You can't do good deeds to get yourself out. You can't do good works to get yourself out. You're trapped in a condition of depravity. You're trapped in a condition of sin. Amen. And that sin is between you and God. And there's nothing you can do. Far as humanly, earthly, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do morally. You can straighten up, turn over new leaves, reform yourself, join the church, get baptized, start reading the Bible every day. But none of those things can set you free from your condition of sin. What you need, I mean, think about this. Lord's giving me this right now, but what you think about this, I've talked about the word saved. Well, there's another word in the Bible that is got my attention at this very second, and that's the word Savior. Amen. There's only one Savior this morning. Now, I know that's elementary preaching to us. We've known that. We've heard that, most of us, all of our lives. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how many times you've heard it or if you just heard it the first time, there's only one Savior. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He used that definite article, the. I am the way and the truth and the life. And then he says very exclusively, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. So I want it to be on record again today that we are firm to believe what the Bible teaches, that all men are sinners, all men are depraved, all men are dead in trespasses and sin. They are born that way, and then they stay that way when they choose to do wrong in life. Amen? But I'm glad that I also know that there's a Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's good. We was thinking about, or I was just now thinking about last year at youth camp when we almost had some people, campers, to get drowned, and Brother Aldridge almost got drowned as well. In the river, and the boy that was almost drowning everybody was fighting and just frantic and frailing and climbing on, grabbing hold of whoever he could get a hold of. But do you know what? They could not save him until he gave up. When he gave up and he went limp, all it took was one push toward the surface. Brother Aldridge said, and somebody grabbed him and pulled him out. A lot of people can get saved today if they quit trying to save themselves, quit trying to reform or get religion or trying to, be more sincere. And those things are commendable. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm just saying don't depend on those things to pay your sin debt, because that can't happen. Amen. But anyway, we're looking at, in verse number 1 in this chapter, we're looking at this chapter and saying some things out of this chapter about salvation from condemnation. That's really your only two choices today. Either salvation or condemnation. That's the only two choices. Salvation are those that are saved. And that is still open today. Thank God the door is open. Whosoever will may freely come and drink of the water of life. Amen. That door is still open. Amen. Fisher got saved last night at home. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But he's not the last one that's gotten saved. He could have been. He could have been the last one. What if he'd have been the last one? You say, what do you mean the last one? I'm talking about to complete the bride of Christ made up of the body of believers. What if he'd have been the last one to have gotten saved last night? And Jesus would have come today. Several things comes into play. One, I wouldn't be here. And two, there'd be a lot of empty pews here today, because if you're saved, you'd be gone because Jesus would come. But you that are not saved, what if Fisher is the last one that we have knowledge of, that said they got saved, confessed Christ as their Savior? What if he was the last one? Then that would make every lost person in this room hopelessly and eternally lost without God. Amen. Amen, that's right. Because if you've heard the gospel, ever heard the gospel one time, and you have, I don't know of anybody in here that's hearing the gospel this morning for the first time. But if you've heard the gospel according to 1 Thessalonians, you missed the rapture, you missed the coming of the Lord, amen, then you're hopelessly and eternally lost without God. You say, well, that's not what that book series said or that movie series said. It don't matter what book said. We're interested in what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what some movie director said or what even what some preacher said. We're not interested in that. Right here is our final authority. Amen. If the Bible contradicts everything that everybody else says, then let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. That's right. And so we know that there's only one Savior. So we're looking at this as the Lord would help us this morning. What we dealt with first, and I'll just mention it, maybe make a couple of comments, and then I want to move on to our second thought, is number one, I showed you last time, verse number one, that there is the now of this salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Thank God. How many in here is glad for the right now of salvation? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That word now brings in the idea of a pressure. That is, those of you that need to be saved, guess when you need to be saved? Now. Amen. God said in Isaiah chapter 1, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, he says very clearly that now is the accepted time and today is the day of salvation. You can't get saved yesterday. Fisher got saved yesterday because that was his today. Amen. Miss Elizabeth got saved on Wednesday, I believe it was, and Sebastian said he got saved on Wednesday, though that was that's a few days past, but that was their today. The only time you can get saved is in the present, the right now. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday's gone. Today's all you have. So the word now brings the idea of pressure, an urgency. I need to take advantage of the moment that I have right now. But also it has the idea of the present. Guess when I am saved? I am saved now. I've been saved for 36 years, and I'm thankful for that, but I am saved right now. I can say right now, I am not going to hell. I can say right now that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can say right now that the old account has been settled long ago. Thank God, I feel a witness on that in my soul, that there is a right now, present tense, deliverance from my condemnation. Thank God. But also, this word now brings about the idea of a pleasure. That is, I can enjoy my salvation right now. Amen. Why? Because right now, look what it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Right now, there's no condemning evidence against me. Praise God, you can believe that. That brings about an enjoyment of my salvation. Amen. I'm not enduring my salvation. I'm enjoying it. Amen. A lot of people needs to move out of that endurance and hanging on and everything and start enjoying being saved and having your sins forgiven. So those are the things that we looked at on the first point. Let me quote this verse or give you this verse. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, listen right now, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So thank God for the now of salvation. Number two, I think we might have mentioned this one in closing the last time, and there is the no of salvation. There's the now of salvation, but there is the no, N-O. Boy, I like that word. That's a little word now, only two letters, but I want to tell you eternity hinges on it. Where you're going to spend eternity and forever, unendingly, hinges on that little word, no. If there is a no of salvation in your life. Of course, if you go to hell, that's because there was a no salvation. There was a no salvation. You didn't have it. You weren't saved. That's the only people, hello, that's the only people that goes to hell. That's right. The only people that goes to hell are those that have not been saved by the grace of God. The only people that goes to heaven are those that have been saved. But here it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So we go from the now of salvation to the no of salvation. There's no greater need and no greater words found in the Bible than no condemnation. I'm telling you, that right there is great. The word no simply means not even one. Not even one, none, nothing. Isn't that good? Not even one, not even one thing to condemn us. Not none, zero, and there's nothing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? No condemnation. Turn to Matthew 5:13. I've got it open here, but I want you to turn. And the reason I want you to turn there is because this is the first mention, and if you've studied your Bible much at all, you've heard of that term, first mention. When you find a word, you go back and find it in its first mention, and the way that it's mentioned, look at it, how it's mentioned, and it will follow that same, it will keep that same message all the way through the scriptures. The book of Genesis is the seedbed for pretty much every major doctrine in the Bible. You can go back to the first mention and see it all the way through. Well, I want you to see the first mention in the scripture of this word, the Greek word that's translated no. It's found in Matthew 5 and verse number, what did I tell you? Verse number 13, 5:13. Look at it. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now keep in mind what we're preaching about in Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, not savior, but savor or saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for, here it is, nothing. It is good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Note that word nothing. He said if salt has lost its savor or saltiness, that it is good for nothing. Not good for most of anything, but he said nothing. There's nothing that it's good for. You say, preacher, what has that got to say to us here today? God takes our good for nothing or nothing good status and saves us by his grace, places our nothing good or good for nothing status on Jesus. Jesus died as me. He died for me. And then I get his good status placed on my account. That's the only way I get to go to heaven. And you is for, we call that substitution. We call that substitution. What do you mean? Jesus took my account. I, through faith, received his account. And his account had nothing wrong, no sin of any size or description in there. Mine was nothing but sin. Jesus took my sin and I got his righteousness, and I get to go to heaven because of that. Amen? Thank God for that. So it talks about this no of salvation. No condemnation. Listen to the meaning of this. No condemnation means no reason for judgment. Hallelujah. No condemning evidence. No condemning evidence, no reason for judgment. Thank God for that. Hey, amen. Boy, that's good right there if you get a hold of it. Amen. I remember someone said at one time that a good lawyer can make the evidence go away. A good lawyer. Well, Jesus Christ made the evidence go away. There's no condemning evidence against a believer. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus has died already for my sin, Brother Scott, past, present, and future. Amen. You say, but preacher, if that's the case, then we can just go out and live like the devil. Well, no, that's not found in the Scripture. Amen. A person that says that, or a person that does that, has never been saved, and we can prove that from the Scripture. But there is the no of salvation. I like that. And let me just say this to you. Condemnation is not a matter of feelings. Lord, give me that little thought. Condemnation is not a matter of feeling. Well, I don't feel like I'm lost. I don't feel like I'm going. It don't matter what you feel like. What does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 51 and verse 5. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That is, you're born a sinner. You're a sinner by conception. And then there comes a time in everybody's life, unless there's some mental issues there, you know, that does not allow them to ever reach the accountability stage, mentally know right and wrong. But we're sinners by choice, and then we become sinners by conception, and then we become at some point sinners by choice. That is, we know when we lied. We did it on purpose. We know when we did something that was against the Scripture, and the Scriptures was against. But the word no condemnation means no reason for judgment, no condemning evidence. Boy, that's a blessing. That's right. We talk about the Spirit of God putting somebody under conviction. I told you about Fisher, requesting prayer for himself for months, and others in here have as well, for months. But it was only, I think, Monday when it went from just, I know I'm lost, and somebody pray for me that I'll be saved. Brother Scott, it went to working in his heart, and conviction set in. Conviction of the Holy Spirit set in upon him, amen, and showed him his need. Made the condemnation a reality. Nobody, listen, this is old-fashioned as the Bible is. Nobody gets saved until they're under conviction. Or could I use one of our choir songs? Nobody gets saved till they get lost. Amen. A person that is not drowning, you can throw them all kinds of safety devices and life preservers. You can throw everything, amen, to them, and they won't even acknowledge it hardly. Why? They don't know they're drowning. But you take a person that's convicted and convinced, I know I am drowning, I'm not going to survive, I'm not going to make it, and is crying out for salvation, if you will, crying out for help, throw them a life preserver. They'll embrace it. A person will embrace Christ when it's clear to them that they are lost. Amen. You can put the cross and the gospel message in front of sinners that are that don't know they're lost or don't care that they're lost, and they'll wad that track up and throw it in the garbage. They'll tell you, I don't have time to talk to you. I don't want to hear that. Or slam the door in your face. But you let the Spirit of God show them that they're lost without God. Turn the light of the gospel on and show them that they're condemned before God, hopelessly lost, and then show them the gospel and they'll embrace it. Amen, that's good. Hallelujah, that's right. There's the no of salvation. And let me just give you this real quickly. This is a good Old Testament example of the of God's work of redemption. Of course, in the Old Testament, it was called atonement. The Ark of the Covenant, most of you have heard about that article in the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was. Inside that ark, there was Aaron's rod that budded. There was a golden pot of manna. And then guess what else was in there? The very thing that condemns us. The broken law of God. Amen. The broken law, the Ten Commandments, was inside the Ark of the Covenant. On top of that ark, of course, there was the cherubims, but on top of that ark was the place where they put the blood of the sacrifice. Once a year in the Old Testament, not now, thank God, but in the Old Testament, that once a year a sacrifice had to die. Whether, you know, it was a lamb or a calf or goat, whatever, so there was a sacrifice. They would take that blood and they would put it on the mercy seat, which was the top part of the Ark of the Covenant. Brother Carroll, they'd take that blood and put it upon the top of that mercy seat. Oh my. That's where God met with man, was right there. The mercy seat. Now, what was in the ark? The condemning law of God showed us that we were transgressors, showed us that we were guilty, showed us that we were condemned. And so that before the sacrifice, before the blood, before the sacrifice, God would look down and guess what he would see? He would see the condemning law, the very law that would condemn man, mankind. But when the sacrifice was slain, they would take that blood, put it on the mercy seat, and so when God would look down, instead of seeing the condemning law inside the ark, there was between God and the condemning law the blood of the innocent, the blood of the sacrifice. I want you, listen, thank God it's still the blood. Thank God the Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. We still believe that we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about that. When God looks down, he sees the blood. Amen. There's no condemning evidence. What does that blood say? You know, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Guess what? So God, when he looks down at my account, and he sees the blood of Christ, listen, upon my account. And that's where the blood's at. We could say, well, Jesus, God's put the blood on my heart. No, listen, he didn't put the blood on your heart. The blood of Christ has been taken post-resurrection, thank God. Every drop of it was taken back and put on the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. Now what's in the mercy seat? That condemning law. One of the three articles in the mercy seat is the condemning law. But on top of that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that's good, isn't it? What about this? Lord just brought this to my attention. Exodus 12. God, the judgment of the death angel was coming through Egypt. Remember that? But God gave instruction to Moses to tell them to take the blood of a sacrifice and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And God said this, Sister Debbie, that when I see the blood, he didn't say, now write down all your good deeds, make a big list of all that you've done for God and all that, and tack it on the door so that when I come by, I'll look and see your do-good list and I'll pass by. No, no. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll pass over. I'll pass on by. Amen. You know why? Because when he looked and he saw the blood, he said, well, I cannot administer death here because it is evident that death has already come here. Hallelujah. Amen. When God looks at my account, Brother Scott, and he sees the blood of Christ, he says, well, I can't kill Barry because death has already come to his account. But the blessed part of that is, it wasn't me that died. It was my substitute. It was my sacrifice. It was my Savior, thank God, who shed his blood. Oh, that cross should have been mine. That crown of thorns should have been mine. The condemnation that was a place upon Christ was mine. But I get to go free because somebody else took my place. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus Christ. If that don't fire you up this morning as a believer, something's wrong. Amen, that's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation, no reason for judgment, no condemning evidence. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. And let me just show you how big that word no is. Woo, glory to God. Listen, that word no. Let me ask you, let me put it this way. How many sins did it take to condemn Adam? I hear several in here saying it right. One sin. I'm glad that the word no destroys the word one. Hallelujah. One sin. That shows you how hopelessly it is for you to think, I can be good enough. No, the Bible said in the book of James that if you offend, if you're talking about the law, if you offend or transgress the law in one point, how many points? One point, he said, you're guilty of all. 99% perfection cannot make it to heaven. 99.9% perfection and righteousness cannot make it to heaven. You say, preacher, that don't sound right. No, it don't sound right. If there's a philosophy of belief that says, I can make it, I can do it. No, you can't. One sin. Now let me ask you this. What was that sin? Say it again. Disobedience. Wasn't murder. Wasn't drunkenness. It wasn't, none of those big things. It was just simply God says, don't do this. And they did it. And there's not a person in this building that is not guilty of disobedience. When God says don't, and we did. Or God says do, and we didn't. Both of those are wrong. But that just goes to show you that salvation had to be of the Lord instead of us. Let me move on quickly. Thirdly, not only is there the now of salvation in verse 1, and there is the no of salvation from condemnation in verse number 1, but also there is the not of salvation here. The N-O-T, the not of salvation. Look at it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk, here it is, not after the flesh. I didn't say that. God's word says that. Amen. There is the knot of salvation. And may I say this? The knot of salvation is just as real in verse 1 as the no of salvation in verse number 1. Amen. The word not is a negative. Who walk not. I've had people tell me over the years, preacher, I don't want to hear none of that negative preaching. Lord, have mercy. What condition would we be in this morning if we had that philosophy through our every area of life? I don't like that negative stuff. I don't like stopping at a red light. What if everybody said, you know what? I don't like that negative. I'm in too big of a hurry. What if everybody had that? There'd be collisions on top of collisions on top of collisions at red lights. Why? Because somebody didn't like a negative or a stop sign. What if a doctor's office operated out of that? Everything you go in there, you're 2 inches from death, but they pat you on the back and say, everything's fine. No. A doctor will tell you, hey, this is what's wrong with you. Amen? This is what's going on with you. This is wrong. We found this. You say, well, I don't like that negative stuff, doc. I'm not coming back to you no more. And I'm not paying my bill. Well, he'll just say, go on and die then. We know that there's negative things in our life. We know that. Yes, everybody that drove, how many drove here today? You drove a vehicle here today because there was the combination between a negative and a positive post on the battery, my friend, that worked and sparked fire into that engine. If you don't like all that negative, take you a wire cutter, go cut your negative post off. Cut the negative wire off and say, I don't like all that negative stuff. And then see if you're walking. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. Do y'all understand here this morning that in the same verse of no condemnation is in the same verse deals with no carnality? The very same verse that says God is taking care of our record in heaven gives us indication of your walk on earth. No condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh. Now I want to tell you, listen, just that one definition right there, that one description right there of a believer thins out those on planet Earth that say they're saved. Do you realize the majority of people on planet Earth today that even confesses that they're saved or claims to be saved, the majority of their life is summarized by that one statement. They're walking after the flesh. Look down in verse number, let's see if I'm going to deal with this right here. Look at verse 5. Let me just point this out real quickly. For they that are after the flesh, look at it, do mind, that is, you're obedient, you're interested in, you've got your affection set on it, you obey it. You mind the things that are of the flesh. And of course the same verse says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh is found in verse number 1. Walk not after the flesh is found at the close of verse number 4. Why? That identifies those that are saved by the grace of God. Now, there's several things that right there clears up. That right there statement clears up that, okay, I'm saved now. Now I can go out here. Now that I've got my ticket to go to heaven, now I can go out here in the world and I can drink and cuss and fornicate and commit adultery and anything else that I want to do. I want to tell you that is not in the Bible. If you'll notice, come on now, I'm in the book. If you'll notice that in the same verse, number one, verse one, that God deals with my condemnation, he immediately starts dealing with my conduct. The first thing that he says to identify them that are in Christ Jesus, he deals with your conduct. Amen. Now you're not saved. Now listen now. Listen, it did not start the verse out with that. You're not delivered from condemnation because of your conduct. You're not saved because you walk not after the flesh. No, no. You walk not after the flesh. Why? Because you are saved. Amen. 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 When I got saved 36 and a half years ago, all my high school buddies, all that crowd, all my partying buddies, they said, you know what? He'll be back. That's what they said. He'll be back. He'll be back to the parties. He'll be back to the dance hall. He'll be back to all that's going on. He's just on a little religious kick. No. But they thought I'd be back. You know? I guess because they've saw so many others go to an altar and say they get saved, and they did go back. But it's been 36 and a half years, and I've not done the backyard butterfly and the jiggle on the dance floor, not once since. Hallelujah. Not been back. Amen. Not been back to any of the partying. Not been back to none of the partying. Not interested in Bud Dummer and Miller Low Life. Not interested in none of that. Not interested in that. I was before I got saved, but not after I got saved. Are y'all listening? I was interested before I got saved in immorality, but not after I got saved. Before I got saved, I enjoyed it. Say amen right there. The flesh enjoys filth and sin. Yes, it does, and yours does. Say amen right there. And your flesh is still wicked. Your flesh, my flesh, it didn't get saved. No, it's still, listen, if I let my flesh have its way and just give it all kind of slack rope, I tell you, I'd be in a hog pen before this evening. My flesh hates going to church. My flesh that's not saved. My flesh don't want to read the Bible. My flesh don't want to pray. My flesh don't want to listen, amen, give for, and go and do for the Lord. Amen? Walk not after the flesh is an identification of a person that is in Christ, according to verse 1. Amen. A person that say they're saved, and Hawkins County is full of them. They say they're saved, Brother Williams, but I'm telling you, they have no heart for God, no desire for God, no desire for God. Let me give you something right here. I read this morning. I was meaning to use it on down in another point. C.H. Spurgeon said this, and I'm just going to quote it, read it, quote it to you. If the convert declares that he knows the Lord's will but does not mean to attend to it, it is your duty to assure him that he has not got saved. Boy, that's strong language right there. A person say they're saved, but they're not interested in serving God. They're not interested in the will of God. They're not interested in righteousness. He said to us, it is our duty to assure them they did not get saved. Man, that's strong. Amen. He goes on to say that God is not glorified nor the gospel magnified by telling worldlings, that they maybe have got saved at that moment simply because they accepted Christ, while they are wedded to their idols with their heart. Their heart is still in love with sin. Spurgeon said, if I do tell them that, if I do so, I'm telling them a lie, I'm perverting the gospel, I'm insulting Christ, and I turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. Very few preachers in our day, listen, very few preachers in our day deals with what I'm dealing with under this point right now. Amen. They'll say, well, just because you said you got saved back when you was a little child or whatever, though you've never lived for God, though you've not had a heart for God and still don't have a heart for God, I want to tell, listen, they tell them they're okay. Why? Because you said you got saved. Listen, there's something in the Bible called fruit. I don't know about the root of salvation. I have to take your word for that. But I also know that if there's the root of salvation within you, there will be the fruit of that salvation out on the outside and in your life. Amen. I think a lot of people that's constantly trying to rededicate probably just needs to be redeemed. I mean, you don't have to go far from where I'm standing right now to knock on doors of people that'll tell you flat-footed and straight, I'm saved. And I've been here 25 years at this church, and I've seen them in this church twice. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about I could walk to their doorstep in probably a minute from where I'm standing right now. But I'm saved, preacher. When'd you get saved? Well, I got saved when I was little. Drinks, dope head, wicked. Hey, I want to tell you right now, before God, I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust that 2 seconds. Why? It violates verse 1. There is therefore now no condemning evidence, no condemnation, no reason for judgment. To who? To them which are in Christ Jesus. See, when you get saved, God, through the Spirit of God, baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's not water baptism. That's the Spirit of God immersing you into the body of Christ. That's why I can't go to hell. I'm in Christ. Which means if I go to hell, Christ has got to go to hell. Say amen right there. I believe with all of my heart that our churches, and when I say our churches, I'm talking about in general, across the board, everywhere, our churches are filled with unregenerate people. We've made such a play on backsliding, by the way, which is not even a New Testament concept. Oh, and I've had them to tell me, oh, preacher, I'm saved, I'm just backslid. Really? You've been backslid for how long? Listen, I understand we all can get out of fellowship with God, and we have, and we probably will again. But I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about out there in sin as a lifestyle, habitually practicing and living in open sin. On and on and on and on and on. I believe I can prove to you without having to look at too many scriptures even that you have never been saved. Can I give you one right quick? What about 2 Corinthians 5:17? What about that one? I started to quote Romans 8:1 again. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, he is. Not he's going to be. Someday he might be. He is a new creature. He is a new creature. Okay? Give us some more details about that, Lord. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. A person that says they're saved and continues to live in sin did not get in. A person that says they're saved according to the Bible, that have no desire for the things of God, did not get in. He said, preacher, you judge it. No, I'm a fruit inspector. Jesus said of his own lips in Matthew 7, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. That should not make you mad. That should not make people mad. You ask me, preacher, are you saved? I'm not going to get defensive. I've asked people if they're saved, and I've seen them get red-faced. I mean, get defensive. Oh, that's personal. That's between me and the Lord. Really? Why is it that somebody asks you about you being saved, hit a sore spot in your heart? Ask me if you've got enough time. Ask me if I'm saved. I won't get mad. I'll just take that as a platform for me to preach to you a few minutes and tell you this, I'm saved and here's why I'm saved, and let me tell you about me getting saved. Let me tell you about the change since I've been saved. Let me tell you about it. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Amen, that's right. I mean, I've dealt with them here in town. I've knocked on doors and I'm saved, preacher, and they come to the door with a beer can in their hand. Oh, I'm saved, preacher, and they come to the door and talking to them further, Brother Scott, I discover and find out by their own admission that they're shacked up. Just a man and a woman, not married, living together. And don't think nothing of it. Oh, but wait a minute, preacher, you forgot what I said a minute ago, but I'm saved. I'm not shaking my head because I'm nervous. Matthew 1:23 says it very clearly. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I want to ask a lot of people that says they're saved, what have you been saved from? Amen. I will say this clearly, God saves no one and leaves them where he finds them. He saves no one and leaves them in their sin. Amen. Well, glory. Who walk not, and the word walk always in the scriptures deals with your walk, your conduct, your behavior, your course of life, and so on and so forth. Walk not after the flesh. That is, the flesh has no control in your life. Amen? Listen to this verse right here. I'm going to quit here in just a minute. I thought I was going to get further. In fact, I thought I was going to finish it, but I'm not finishing it. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Okay? That's not all the verse. Everybody understand that's not all the verse? The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Okay, Lord, help us to identify who your his bunch are. Tell us who your crowd is. Tell us who your family is. Tell us who your church is. Tell us who it is that is on that unchanging foundation. Tell us who it is. Here the verse ends by saying, and. Mr. Paul said, what's an and? Isn't that a conjunction? He just got through saying about the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Amen. Someone said nobody goes to heaven walking toward hell. Vance Havner said about that verse I just quoted to you, read to you. He said, I'm glad the Lord does know who his are, because he said, I have a hard time recognizing them. Amen. And you know that's right. You know that's the truth. We're in a day when God's people live no different than people that are lost. They go to the same places, listen to the same music, have some of the same things going on in their life, same interests, same affections. I don't know a whole lot, but I do know this. When God saves a person, he changes their life. He changes their life. He changes your desires. You don't think the same way about sin. Your attitude changes about sin. Amen. Brother Chad Watson preached powerful message I ever heard on Thursday night at camp. And he's dealt with that man that laid for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. And after that man got saved, got his life miraculously changed, Jesus told him, who laid on that bed for 38 years, he said, take up your bed and walk. Be a walking display and a testimony of the life-changing power of God. Amen. If sinners view you as being like they are, then they will not want what you've got because they think they already have what you've got. But if you'll be different, not holier than thou, not holier than thou, not a Pharisee, but if you'll live or let Christ live his life, that's a better scriptural way to put it. Let Christ live his life out through you. Then you'll show them, I'm not the man I used to be. What God done for me was a great thing.